Hello and welcome to our program today. We're working our way all the way up to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel's having some visions. Quite a chapter. We're going to look at it in a minute. Stay tuned. Chapter 8, the book of Daniel, Daniel's had another vision, and it has to do with rams and their horns and battles. Actually, God has laid out in this chapter 2,500 years of history, all prophecy at that time. None of it had come to pass at that point, but we see God's program here, and it ends with the end time, with Jesus coming again, and he is coming again soon. Our prayer ought to be, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, labor all done. Heaven will open.
Thought lately how it's really going to be when we see our loved ones again. Oh, what a precious thought. No more tears, no more saying goodbye, and really no more memories, because then all will be fine.
Well, here we are in Daniel chapter 8, and it says in verse number 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So now he's having another vision. It's in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. That's amazing. You see, Daniel went through the whole reign of Nebuchadnezzar, and that was 70 years long. And now he's into the third year of King Belshazzar, and Daniel is still front and center in everything that's happening. That is an amazing thing that God, of course, is in charge of. Well, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, Daniel says, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel. What humility. He said in verse number 15, I, Daniel. He was a humble man. He didn't realize why God would have be given him anything special. He said in verse number 2, and I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was in Shushan the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Uliah. Now, when this took place, Daniel was in Babylon, and he was projected in the vision to a town that is very little known at the time, a town that was destined to be the imperial royal city of the Persians. But at this time, it was a nothing town. It would become the city of Esther. It would become the city where Nehemiah was. And there was a significant river there, and the archaeologists have discovered a man-made 900-foot-wide canal. And this is what this word is referring to. As you look into the Hebrew here, the Spirit of God has given a special word for this very special type of river, and it's only used here this one time in Hebrews. Now, there's a threefold purpose for the book of Daniel as we go through it, and of course all of it has to do with prophecy. And we see here that through Daniel's prophecy, number one, God is preparing Israel for the persecutions that they will face. Number two, he is warning not to be confused with the false messiahs that will come on the scene for Israel. And number three, he is encouraging them that God's kingdom will prevail. Now, as we get into verse number three, Daniel said, I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now, he said, I saw a ram. One ram. Now, that's unusual, because rams usually stick in flocks. They stay together. He says here, this ram had two horns. One horn was higher than the other. Now, these horns in the Bible are always a symbol of power. Now, in verse number 20, we're told, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of the Medes and the Persians. Well, in verse number 3, he said again, I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now, keep in mind that Daniel was prophesying before the Medes and the Persians ever took over anything. Daniel is saying there will come a Persian Empire, and this Persian Empire will be made up of two parts. The higher part, he said, will come along later. Now, Media was already a major power in the world. That's the big horn represented here. And there was a little horn, which was Persia. Persia was relatively insignificant at that time, and an insignificant country in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness is where they were. Now, Cyrus made Persia the greatest of the two. Cyrus established the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, how did Daniel know all that before it happened? Well, verse number 12 tells us, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, God tells us here that Daniel set his heart to understand, number one, and to chasten himself. That word chasten has been translated humble 11 times. Daniel made a decision. He said, I want to understand, and he set his heart to understand. Well, here in Daniel 8 and verse 40, Daniel says, I saw the ram, that was Cyrus, pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Now again, we're looking at prophecy. The Medo-Persian Empire was not, it didn't exist in Daniel's time. The empire, though, when it came, it went west and took Syria, Asia Minor, and Babylon. The empire then pushed north and took the regions in the north around the Caspian Sea. The empire pushed south and took Egypt. It took Ethiopia. And it did exactly as Daniel said it would. It moved west, it moved north, and it moved south. It is a fact, if you want to check ancient history, this is exactly what happened. In verse number 5, Daniel said, and I was considering, you know, if we would go to church and then come home and consider for the next 5 days, 6 days, what we've heard that week, and sit down with our family and have devotions. You might have to turn the television off. Sit down with your family and have supper together and consider what you heard in church last week. It'd help you a lot, but most Christians aren't going to do that. Why? Because we're living in an age of apostasy when most Christians don't care at all about what went on in church last Sunday. They're only there because they're supposed to be there. They don't really want to be there because they love the Lord. And we call that church. Daniel said, I was considering, and behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Now, verse 20 and 21, we read, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And then in 21, the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So now we're moving on down this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. We're coming down from Babylon to Media Persia, and now we're coming down to the Grecian Empire. And so in Daniel chapter 8, verse number 5, he talks about a notable horn here. And that notable horn, if you look at history, obviously was Alexander the Great. Alexander was born in 356 B.C. That was a long time after Daniel was prophesying this. Alexander was 21 years old when he became king in 336 B.C. Possibly he was the greatest military genius of all human history. In 334, 2 years after he became king, he attacked the Medes and the Persians. And so we have in Daniel 8, verse number 6, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. In verse number 7, we read, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And so what do we have here? Babylon was his, Shushan was his, the Medo-Persian Empire was his, Alexander the Great just came in. It says he didn't even touch the ground. He was coming in so swiftly, and he is a type. All of this is a type of the Antichrist, which we're going to see when the tribulation period begins. We see that he comes with power, and nobody can stop him. Verse number 8, therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now, the great horn was broken. What happened to Alexander? He was 33 years old when he died in a drunken stupor, and he was over as quickly as he came on the scene. He was broken. Well, that's a type of the Antichrist as well. He'll have great power, but the Antichrist's power will be broken. And if you look back at our image that we were looking at that Nebuchadnezzar set up, you get down to when the rock came, that was Christ, and smashed the feet of this great image. Now, it mentions four notable ones here. In Alexander's place came up four new leaders, and that is simply a fact. There was four generals that followed in the Grecian Empire after Alexander. Is it any wonder that God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God? What the Bible says is going to happen, always happens.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.